Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Chelsea Beaker's debut short story collection features desperate characters struggling to find meaning in their lives. The book is called Heartbroke for a reason. Many of the stories focus on the relationships between mothers and their children. And despite dealing with dark topics like poverty and substance abuse, Chelsea creates sincere human moments of humor and grace. Her previous book is the novel Godshot. It was a finalist for the Oregon Book Award and also named an NPR Best Book of the Year. Godshot and all of the stories in Heartbroke have one thing in common. They all take place in Chelsea's native home of the Central Valley of California.
As I was writing the book, I was so entrenched and obsessed with California's Central Valley. I think it's a place that we don't often see in books and in media, or if we do see it, it's sort of in stereotype. And being from there, I was always really transfixed by the landscapes, by just the diversity of experience you could have from one area to the next. And I found when I started writing later as an adult, that was the place all of my work wanted to go.
Yeah, it really does serve very well as almost like a character in the stories and in your novel. And it's just, and you write so well, beautifully and evocatively about what the landscape is like and everything. It makes me want to kind of visit there. So well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I've heard from so many people, they became really thirsty while reading my books.
especially that would apply even more so to Godshot than the short stories, I think. Yeah, but yeah, that, yeah, I was pretty thirsty too, yeah. The opening story in Heartbroke is called Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Minors. And it was inspired by your mother's writing. How so?
Yeah, my mom had taken a community college class when I was young, and it was a writing class, and one of the prompts was to write something you're the expert on. You know, my dad was a miner, a hydroelectric miner for many years, and she was kind of immersed. We were all immersed in that sort of world, and the world of mining, as I saw it as a child, seemed really unto itself. It seemed to have its own language. You know, the miners were very close and connected. It's a really dangerous job. And so when it came time for my mom to write this paper, she wrote about miners and sort of the language that they use and the nicknames that they have for one another. And when I was an adult going through our storage unit, I found her paper. And I think she got like a C minus on it or something. Like, she didn't quite follow the prompt. But when I read it, it was so enjoyable to read because I got to see a side of my mom I didn't know. You know, I was able to see her not just from the perspective of a child, but from a perspective of this unique individual who was actually quite an entertaining writer herself. And the paper just sort of inspired me to remember that time in our lives and remember some of those characters from around that time. And it kind of went from there. So I dedicated it to her because, you know, it's just one of those moments where you have a ping of inspiration that you might have otherwise not had from a found object. So
Yes. One of the recurring themes in your fiction is when the child takes on the role of a parent and the way that results in often catastrophic consequences. What is it about this theme that resonates with you?
I think that child perspective, when they are having to negotiate their parents' moods or their parents' behavior, and that behavior is often really destructive, I find that perspective compelling because that's a really desperate place to be. And a child, of course, doesn't have the full picture, but you also get the sense that neither does the adult. And there's a wisdom in that child's perspective, I think, that is accelerated because of their circumstance. So while they may be very young, they may be, you know, in early adolescence, they are seeing the world in a really heightened way. And I think that always makes for a compelling narrator. They're also seeing their world in terms of safety. They're questioning the things around them because they also see that they will be an adult semi-soon. And there's also an opportunity there to decide, is this the path I'm going to take? You know, my parent is on this one path. I'm observing it. It doesn't look great. The glimmer of hope there is that, well, maybe I can choose something different. And I think a lot of the stories do center around this idea of what does it take to interrupt like a generational dysfunction? What does it take to interrupt addiction or generations upon generations of domestic violence or, you know, these really hard to interrupt things, even when the narrator sees it clearly or understands they want a better way, they're often very under-resourced. And so those perspectives are, we're really seeing them at the pinnacle of some big decisions about what path they're going to take and also just the tides of fate kind of being against them. And what happens in those more desperate places is always a big curiosity for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. Yeah. One of the things that really struck me is the way that characters cross over from your novel Godshot to your short stories. So I have to ask, are you constructing your own BCU, Beaker Cinematic Universe?
I love that. Yes, probably. I mean, these two books were written alongside one another. I think of them as sort of sister books in a way. I guess you could think of them as kind of holding hands because they were written in the same kind of brain space as one another. And the stories were actually even started before my novel. But as I was writing, especially with Godshot, there were certain storylines that just didn't make it into that final draft. There were certain characters that were extremely compelling to me, but didn't really have a place in the novel after all. And part of the challenge of writing Godshot was narrowing down that story and cutting quite a bit. At one time, it was a lot longer and it didn't need to be, but I was able to take some of that and turn around and maybe write a story that satisfied that need I had to explore these certain characters more. And so there are some overlap. There are some reoccurring places. There's some winks. I would describe it as like a wink to a reader of Godshot if they've read the book. They don't need to read the novel in order to understand the stories and vice versa. They're definitely standalone, but there's some fun Easter eggs throughout where you may see a character just on the edges kind of reappear. And I just find that to be a fun experience in reading and something that I had fun incorporating as I wrote the books together.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun to read that way because I, like you, you started by writing the short stories before you started writing the novel. And then I'd read most of the short story collection and then I dipped into the novel. And then so I had kind of a similar experience from a reader's viewpoint. And I especially loved when one of the Easter eggs is a protagonist of Godshot, Lacey May, reads a romance novel called Cowboys and Angels, one of the short stories in Heartbroke.
Yes. Yes. At the time, the story collection was called Cowboys and Angels. So that kind of changed later in the game. But yes, it was sort of a play on her kind of having that book in her hands. And I thought that was kind of fun. I had me a cowboy once on a hot steam Friday night, on a hot go all the way time, just us together in his truck with old Angel from Montgomery playing Way Turned Up. I wanted that cowboy, but he had eyes for another, some slack-jawed Sally from the next town over, daughter of the dairy man. Me, I'd been out turning grapes as far back as I could remember, but by then I was fixing to marry, and I had long red hair down to my waist, and I was one sunburn away from old age. After our first intimacy, I wanted that cowboy to come to his senses, and I decided he had about a week to do it before I'd tell his future bride all we'd done together, how he'd kissed me each and every place, and we was one before the Lord, and in the eyes of God, we was already married, and she ought to step aside and abide by our blessed salvations evermore. The story is kind of wild. I mean, as I was writing it, I was like, oh, interesting. It felt like the voice was out ahead of me and I was just trying to hold on. And I wrote it all from beginning to end in one sitting, which is very rare for me.
Wow.
Of course, I revised it over many years. It was not so simple, but it seemed like it came out fully formed. It was like, here's the story. And that was unique, and so it does remain one of my favorites in the collection because it felt almost like it wasn't even me writing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned it was a fun story to write, and it's definitely a fun story to read. Your stories have been described as having the quality of a postcard sent by a Quentin Tarantino character if that character grew up in Del Rey reading Flannery O'Connor and Annie Proulx. What do you think of that description?
Yeah, I thought that was an accurate description. Annie Proulx especially is one of my favorite writers, and the reason for that is because I think her stories are so grounded in place. Place is so much of a character in Proulx's writing. But also her stories are unique to me in the sense that when you read them, you feel within 20 pages as if you've read a 300-page novel. Like there's no shying away from that depth and that sort of movement through time. And you feel like you've read this big epic story, but it's a short story. And I set out a bit with that in mind as I wrote my own stories because that's just what I love to read. And so any comparison to her is a huge honor to me, so.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the Tarantino reference is probably a reference to the violence that occurs in some of your stories. Is Tarantino an influence at all?
I can't say that he is. I think that more so there's something in me that wants to allow my work to not shy away from the realities of the world, and part of the realities of the world include violence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't set out thinking, I'm going to write a story that includes violence. I set out thinking, I'm going to write a true story. I'm going to write something where these characters are doing things that is true for them and their scenario and their situation and their resources. And often that culminates in violence. And so my goal with that is never to have violence in my work for violence sake, but to explore it in a way that offers the narrator and often the victim as much autonomy as possible, but yet not to shy away from the experience that so many people have had, and to do it well is the challenge.
Mm-hmm, definitely. What kind of emotional toll does writing about these characters who are struggling to survive and find meaning in their lives take on you?
That's a good question, because recently I have felt the book I'm writing now has felt a bit heavier to me in terms of when I'm done writing for that day, or just the toll it takes to consider these themes for so long, to go to bed thinking about them, to wake up thinking about them. There is a toll, I think. But overall, I would say writing fiction for me versus like writing an essay or my very brief attempt at thinking perhaps I'd write a memoir that was quickly dashed. I find fiction so much fun. I find the possibility in it very energizing. So even if I'm writing something that is dark or difficult, there's a real energy in the language for me that can help me, I don't know, end feeling quite rejuvenated, actually. I think it's a way for me also to take control of a narrative, to not allow that story or that narrative too much power in the darkness. You know, if I can bring it into this space that I have the ultimate control, I have the ultimate say, and I get to play with the sound and the music of the language and the sentences, that feels really redemptive to me.
Very well said. Can you tell us anything about the book you're working on now?
I can. I think part of the journey of it right now is I'm also figuring out what it is about. I was just talking to another writer friend, and we were talking about how, you know, when we set out to write something, we think we know what it is. I set out writing the novel I'm writing now. I've been working on it for 4 years. And where I began and what I thought I was going to write about is much different than what the book presented itself to be. And that journey, that exploration of writing and discovery is the magic of writing. Like, that's the part that I don't always feel in control of. That's the part where I may have set out in one direction, but now my ship has veered over to this other unexpected thing. And I think that's a way I know I might be on the right course, because then I know that that's the art of it. That's the art of it is taking over, and that's exciting, even though it can be a scary place to be in that unknown. It's a lot about motherhood. It's a lot about these long-standing effects of domestic violence. I'd say it's pretty funny. I think there's a humor, and humor is really important to me. I think humor can be a vehicle to carry some of these heavier topics in a way that people can relate to more, and that is more fun to write too, and is more realistic. Again, I think things are never one way, so I'm always looking for where's that balance of hilarity and reality.
Yeah, look forward to that. Chelsea Beaker, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on Heartbroke and on Godshot, and I can't wait to read your next book.
Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate all your wonderful questions.
Chelsea Beaker is the author of the short story collection Heartbroke and the novel Godshot. You can find out more about Chelsea and her fiction at wpr.org/beta.
We have to take this huge sweep of chaos and somehow cram it through a funnel and spit it out the other end as a linear sequence of words.
Coming up, John Mualim joins us to talk about his one-of-a-kind essays. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.